By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine, our early morning program. We're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting a Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'd like to give you this because one, the intention in giving you this is that one, you become aware of the benefits and the blessings of reciting Durood e Pak. Two, hopefully as a result of that, you become habitual, you make it part of your daily routine, that you recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thirdly, if you can remember these blessings and pass them on to others, then inshallah azawajal, they will also become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak and you will get the sawab as well. The one that we're going to share with you today is where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that if a person recites Durood e Pak, sends salutations upon me 1,000 times in a day. Yes, 1,000 times. It seems like a lot, but try it. It won't take that long. 1,000 salutations in a day, then he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. What a great blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, azawajal, every day we'll try and give you a different blessing. But try make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make it part of your daily routine. Set aside some time, and you don't have to set aside some specific time. It can be when you're traveling to work, traveling home from work, on the bus, waiting for the bus, waiting for your next customer, whatever it is, you can multitask. Nowadays, we all multitask with other things. Why can you not multitask and recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But before we begin today's program and talk about the topic of the day, we're now going to begin the day as we should always begin the day by listening to some or reading some Quran, inshallah. So now we're going to go to listen to some recitation of the Quran. And inshallah, azawajal, when we come back, we're going to start with the topic of the day. Let's go to the recitation of the Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitane mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
وحنانا من لدنا وزكاة وكان تقيا.
اور اپنی طرف سے مہربانی اور ستھرائی اور کمال ڈر والا تھا.
وبرا بوالديه ولم يكن جبارا عصيا.
اور اپنے ماں باپ سے اچھا سلوک کرنے والا تھا اور زبردست و نافرمان نہ تھا.
وسلام علیہ یوم ولد ویوم یموت ویوم یبعث حیا.
اور سلامتی ہے اس پر جس دن پیدا ہوا اور جس دن مرے گا اور جس دن زندہ اٹھایا جائے گا.
وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ.
اور کتاب میں مریم کو یاد کرو.
اِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا.
جب اپنے گھر والوں سے پورب یعنی مشرق کی طرف ایک جگہ الگ گئی.
فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا.
تو ان سے ادھر ایک پردہ کر لیا تو اس کی طرف ہم نے اپنا روحانی بھیجا, وہ اس کے سامنے ایک تندرست آدمی کے روپ میں ظاہر ہوا.
قالت انی اعوذ بالرحمن منک ان کنت تقیا.
بولی میں تجھ سے رحمان کی پناہ مانگتی ہوں اگر تجھے خدا کا ڈر ہے.
قال انما انا رسول ربک لأهب لك غلاما زكيا.
بولا میں تیرے رب کا بھیجا ہوا ہوں کہ میں تجھے ایک ستھرا بیٹا دوں.
قالت أنا يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا.
بولی میرے لڑکا کہاں سے ہوگا، مجھے تو نہ کسی آدمی نے ہاتھ لگایا نہ میں بدکار ہوں.
قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين.
کہا یوں ہی ہے، تیرے رب نے فرمایا ہے کہ یہ مجھے آسان ہے.
ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا.
اور اس لیے کہ ہم اسے لوگوں کے واسطے نشانی کریں اور اپنی طرف سے ایک رحمت، اور یہ کام ٹھہر چکا ہے.
فحملته فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا.
اب مریم نے اسے پیٹ میں لیا، پھر اسے لیے ہوئے ایک دور جگہ چلی گئی.
فأجاءها المخاض الى جذع النخلة.
پھر اسے جننے کا درد ایک کھجور کی جڑ میں لے آیا.
قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا.
بولی ہائے، کسی طرح میں اس سے پہلے مر گئی ہوتی اور بھولی بسری ہو جاتی.
فناداها من تحتها الا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا.
تو اسے اس کے تلے سے پکارا کہ غم نہ کھا، بے شک تیرے رب نے تیرے نیچے ایک نہر بہا دی ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ، I don't know if you were paying attention to the verses of the Quran and the translation and if you can understand the Urdu language. There were the verses there about the birth of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And at that time, it is mentioned in the Quran how his mother went away. Some beautiful verses. And again, we should try and read the Quran and understand the Quran on a daily basis. Amir al-Sunnat in the Nek Amal, the Pious Deeds booklet, he asks us, requests us to read at least 3 verses of the Quran on a daily basis with translation and commentary. And I think if we can all try and make a habit of that, on a daily basis, or reading the Quran, reading at least 3 verses of the Quran with translation and commentary, and inshallah, it'll make a change inside us, inshallah. And I'll give you an example, that if you drop water on a stone and the water comes onto a stone, drop, 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 just a little drops of water, eventually them drips of water will make a hole in that stone. In the same way, there are 3 verses of the Quran fall onto our hearts on a daily basis, that inshallah, we will change, inshallah, and we will change for the better, and it'll make a change around us as well. And if only we could sit as a family and possibly recite these 3 verses of the Quran. So try and make a habit of dedicating some time. You know, there are many, many people I know that they will not leave the home unless they have read at least 3 verses of the Quran. If we could try and get that habit inside us, that when we leave our home, before we leave, we recite 3 verses of the Quran. Views of the channel. With regards to the topic of the day, before we begin, I want to tell you, well, not a story, but something that probably happens to a lot of people in their lives. If you follow any, let's say, sport, yeah, your favorite team has now reached the final, whatever the sport is, be it cricket, football, or whatever the sport is, and you are sitting there watching your favorite team play in the final. And throughout the game, your heartbeat raises, your emotions change, you get happy when you see your team playing good, you get sad when your team are not playing good, you get angry when one of your team players makes a silly mistake, and your emotions, you're full into it, your emotions are there with that game, and you're up and you're down and everything's happening. And then what happens at the end of the game, be it the last ball of the game, be it the final whistle of the game, when that last ball is bowled or when that final whistle is blown, you take a deep breath and you're either happy or you're sad. Now, you're happy if your team has done well, but you're sad if your team haven't. But ultimately, what happens is you then go back to reality. You might go back to reality happily, you might go back to reality sad, but then you've left that part You know, you might have spent a whole day watching that game. You've left that part of your life and you've gone back to reality. View some of the channel. That is also what life is about. We live our lives, we're happy, we're sad, we're angry. All the emotions that you can possibly think of happen throughout our life. Our heartbeat raises, excitement, happiness, sadness, all those things happen. Then eventually we'll take our last breath. And then we will go back to reality. The real reality. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran that this dunya, it is a pastime and it's a game. The hereafter is the real place for those who are successful. So in the same way that when you go back to reality after you've watched that game and you're either happy or you're sad, when you go back to reality, when you go into the afterlife, depending on how you've lived your life will depend on whether you go there happily or sad. And so today what we want to talk about is, we want to talk about us dying with Iman, because that is the criteria of using the channel. If you die with Iman, if you die with your Iman intact, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will have a good afterlife. If you do not die without your Iman, then you could be in the hellfire forever. So for a Muslim, the greatest thing that he can achieve in his life is to die with Iman. And so today we want to talk a little bit about that. But in talking about that, the pious people of the past, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have been told that there are certain things that if we do within our life, we run the risk of dying without Iman. Dying without the greatest gift that we have got. Our Iman is such that it is the greatest gift that we have got. It is more valuable than any gold, any mountains, anything that you can possibly perceive. Because this life, it is temporary. It is a blink of an eye. You know, if you're in this world, it is a blink of an eye. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully explained it when he said that this dunya, this world, it is like when you put your finger in the ocean and you take your finger out. And that water that is on your finger, that is this dunya. But the afterlife is the ocean. And this water that is on your finger, it dries up and disappears. But the ocean doesn't. And what happens is foolish people, we run after this. We run after the water on our finger that is drying. Every second it is getting less and less and less on our fingers. And as it's drying, this less and less, our lives are getting less and less. Yet we're running after this. And we should be running after the ocean. So as Muslims, it's very important that we live our life, our short lives, in such a way that we die with Iman and inshallah Azza wa Jal, we live for eternity in paradise. So we're going to talk a little bit about certain things that if you are doing, and so this is something, what I want you to do during this program, viewers of the channel, I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to be honest. That's the first thing. If we're not honest with ourselves, we'll get nowhere. Because, you know, today you can make a fool out of me and you can say, oh, brother, yeah, I don't do that. No. I'm okay. And I will believe you. And maybe you can talk your way out of things. But on the day of judgment, that won't happen. On the day of judgment, you will have to answer for every single thing that you have done. And you will not be able to make any excuses. You'll have no excuses on that day. Today, you may have the gift of the gab and can talk your way out of anything. But on that day, it's not going to work. Today, you can hide things from me. You can hide things from your parents, your spouse, your family. You can hide so many things. On that day, nothing will be hidden. You know, everything will be lifted and everything will be there and you will not be able to deny anything. So we need to live our life in such a way that on that day, when we enter our dark and lonely grave, on that day, when we cross the bridge of Sirat, on that day, on the day of judgment, when our deeds, book of deeds are presented to us, on that day, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we live our life in such a way that inshallah Azza wa Jal, through the mercy of Allah, remember, through the mercy of Allah, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will enter paradise. When I said the mercy, I mentioned that for a reason. I mentioned that for a reason because it is only through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, we should never think to ourselves, I've done enough. You know, like some people, when they do an exam, they say, oh, I've done enough to get the pass mark. Yeah, I've got the pass mark. I don't know about anything else, but I've passed. Yeah. They come out the exam rooms and they say, how did you do? And they say, oh yeah, brother, I did all right. I don't know how well I've done, but at least I've passed. Doesn't work like that. You should never think that you have passed. You should never think that I have passed this ultimate test in life. Nobody can guarantee a pass. Because number one, we do not even know that we will die with Iman. And I'll mention, inshallah, some instances of people that at that crucial moment in time, they may have lived a life of piety, but at that crucial moment in time, they've lost their Iman. And then on top of that, the deed that we have performed, the good deeds that we have performed, number one, how do you know that they're accepted? The sins that we have done, do we remember them? Yes, we remember all the good deeds we perform. We remember the Hajj, the Umrah, the Itikaf, the Quranic parks, the masjid that we built, the madrasas that we built, the trees that we planted. We remember all those things. But do we remember the sins that we have committed? And that is something that we will be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment. So we need to live our lives in such a way that number one, we die with Iman. And number two, that we live our lives in such a way that whatever action we perform it purely for the pleasure of our Rabb, purely for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So like I said, we're going to mention some things that if you are involved in, then you run the risk of dying with Iman. There is a book called Sharh Sudur, and it says in that book that there are four causes of a bad end. A bad end meaning that if you die, if you leave this dunya without your Iman, that's obviously the worst end you can possibly have. No matter how you die, you know, we're all going to die. No matter how you die, a bad end is when you die without your Iman. The four things that I mentioned here in this book, Sharh Sudura. Number one, laziness in offering salah. Number two, consuming alcohol. Number three, disobedient to parents. And number four, causing harm to Muslims. I'm going to read that again. Number one, laziness in offering salah. Number two, consuming alcohol. Number three, disobedient to parents. And number four, causing harm to Muslims. We're going to take a small break here. And I just want you to ponder over those four actions, over those four things. Just ponder over them. And then inshallah, when we come back after the break, we'll talk about those four actions that can cause us to lose our Iman. Let's go to the break of the day and inshallah, listen to a kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala and that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad, aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega maula laya hai kya kya, poochega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad صلى الله على محمد.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jism aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jism aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Apne raza ke qurban jao, murshid piya ke qurban jao, jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ala Muhammad.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, views on the channel, beautiful kalam there, and I hope that we enjoyed it at home as much as we here enjoyed in the studio. I was quite relaxed. I think if it had gone on any longer, I might have gone to sleep. But mashallah, beautiful kalam. And I think, again, these kalams, these naats, they are there to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ultimately in our hearts. Views on the channel, today we're talking about those things that can cause us to not die with iman. And as a Muslim, our ultimate goal in life should be to die with iman. No matter what alpha aims you have in your life, that should be your number one aim. And there are certain things that if you do, then you run the risk of dying without your iman. And before the break, we've quickly mentioned that in the book Shirah Sudur, it is mentioned that there are four possible causes of a bad end. And a bad end being a person that dies without his iman. Number one is he who is lazy in his salah. Number two is he who is consuming alcohol. Number three, he who is disobedient to parents. And number four, the one who causes harm to Muslims. Now, if we look at them four views on the channel, number one, laziness in performing our salah. You know, as a Muslim, if I was to ask you or ask anybody the fiqh rulings, the shari rulings on inheritance, for example, we would struggle. If I was to ask you that when is it wajib upon you to give dam when you are on Hajj, very few of us would know that. But I think everybody, and when I say everybody, I mean everybody, even from the age of maybe 5 or 6 or 7, will know that salah, namaz, is farz upon us. We all know it. So we might make mistakes otherwise, but can anybody deny, any Muslim deny the fact that namaz is farz upon them? Nobody can deny it. So if nobody can deny that namaz is farz upon them, then the question is why? Why are we lazy in our salah? We all know, you ask anybody, it is one of the pillars of Islam. They tell you, oh yeah, there's 5 pillars of Islam. And salah is one of those pillars of Islam. So why are we lazy in performing our salah? And the reason why we are lazy in performing in our salah is because our nafs tries to tell us something. We get these shaitanic whispers that try to tell us something, that look, it's okay. Look, it takes too long. You're a busy man. You're a very busy person. You haven't got time for namaz. And look, you've got the rest of your life to read your namaz. These are the whispers that we get in our mind. I remember once I went to Manchester and I was sat with the solicitor. And the solicitor was talking with us and we were talking about it and we were inviting him to the Ijtema' Secretariat. And he said to me, but I want to say something. He said, you know, whenever the time for salah comes, I say to myself, look, you're too busy. You've got this to do. You've got this to do. You've got that. I've got to do this. And I've got to make this phone call. I haven't got time for this. And yet, when somebody rings me And you know when someone rings you on your phone and you look at it and you say, oh yeah, yeah, this will take about 5 minutes, yeah? And when someone else rings you, this is going to take half an hour. He said, when people ring me and I look at the number and I think, oh, this is only going to take me 5 minutes, I answer the call, I take the call, and if the call lasts for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I don't mind. I don't get frustrated, I don't get worked up. I don't think, oh, well, you know, why did it take 45 minutes? It was only a 5-minute call. Because it's part of my job. But when it comes to salah, oh, no, it's going to take too long. When it comes to going to the weekly ishtamaan, the brothers say, oh, we're going to finish in 1.5 hours. The ishtamaan will finish at 9:30, and then we complain when it finishes at 9:35. We complain when it finishes at 9:40. Why do we never complain when our phone calls take an extra 40 minutes? Why do we never complain with all these other things? We don't. So it's a shaitani whisper to us that says, oh, it's going to take too long. And secondly, saying to yourself that, oh, I'll do it later. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm not really reading my namaz at the moment, but, you know, when I get married, you know, when I get settled, when I get a bit older, when I'm retired, then, you know, I'll sit in the masjid for the rest of my life. Can anybody guarantee me that? Allahu Akbar. Look around you, viewers of Munchan. You see people dying early. Yes, you see the 70-year-olds, the 80-year-olds, you see all this, but people die early. What guarantee have you got? And you may say, okay, I'll read it later on. But again, what guarantee have you got that later on will come? Even if later on is that day, there is no guarantees. So when it comes to reading our namaz, that's the first thing. No matter what you watch on Madri Channel, you can watch all the programs on Madri Channel, every single one of them. You may love everything that you watch. But the fundamental crux comes down to this first thing, reading our namaz. That is the first thing that we need to sort out. Whatever is happening in our lives, we need to sort this out. Repent from the sins that we have committed and read our namaz. That's the first thing. And we need to sort that out. Dawud's Islam is here to help you. You may say to yourself, well, I forgot how to read my namaz. I forgot how to do these things. And maybe you have. Or maybe you can remember it, but you're not sure. Well, come to Dawud's Islam, come to the ishtamaas, come to the gatherings, and brothers will there. They will not judge you. They will not look in, you're 30, you should know how to read your namaz. They're not going to do that. Don't worry. Be it the brothers or the sisters, come to the gatherings and sisters will help the sisters, brothers will help the brothers, and inshallah, Azza wa Jalla help you to read your namaz and correct your namaz. And you know, by associating yourself with those people that read the namaz on a regular basis, read the salah on a regular basis, you will also do it as well. You know, you may not accept this, you may not admit to this, but you are influenced by the people that you're sitting with. Those people that you associate with, they will influence you. You may say, no, no, nobody influences me. I'm an independent person. I make my own decision, my life, my rules. But that's not true. You know, a certain amount of peer pressure affects us. You know, people think that peer pressure only affects you when you're young. Peer pressure affects you your whole life. You know, when you're young, you're at school and you're under peer pressure to have a cigarette or to go here or to go there. But as you get older, the people around you, I'll give you an example, and I've used this before. You're with your friends, yeah? And all of a sudden, you know, the time for salah comes. And whatever's happening, there may be a conversation going on, they may be playing a game, or they may be going somewhere, or want to go somewhere, or doing something, and you all of a sudden say, you know what, I just want to go and read my salah. And they don't. They'll take the mick out of you, they'll make fun of you, they'll say to you, why, come on. You know, after so long we sat together, after so long we're doing this, if you go, then the game has to stop, if you go, then we can't go there, you know, we're going to be late, and this, and they make all these excuses for you. And you feel under pressure to miss your salah. And what happens is, for the sake of your friend, you'll miss that one, then you miss two, then you miss five, and then you become like your friends. But if on the other hand, you don't read your namaz, and all your friends do, and the time for salah comes, and they stop the car, and they say, okay, we're going to go read our salah then. And you say, well, you know, we're going to be late. You know, if you get out of the car and read your namaz now, go in there, and we're going to be late. Doesn't matter, we're going to read our namaz. And they go there. What are you going to do? You're going to sit in the car? All right, you might sit in the car the first time, the second time, the third time. But eventually you're going to think to yourself, look, I might as well just go inside and read my namaz as well. And you will also do it. So associate yourself with those people who are on the right path. Associate yourself with those people who read the namaz. Then inshallah, you will also then get in a habit of reading your namaz. The second thing on the list that mentioned there is consuming alcohol. Now I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that all the people that are watching this program are never afflicted by consuming alcohol. But unfortunately, it is starting to become prevalent within our society now, prevalent within the youth. Not only that, there are a majority, there are a lot of, I'm not saying a majority, a lot of Muslims who may not be drinking alcohol, but are selling alcohol as well. And this is also haram. This is something that we need to stay away from. We need to stay away from consuming it. We need to stay away from producing it. We need to stay away from carrying it or selling it. We need to stay away from this, which is classed as the mother of all evils. We need to stay away from this. So I pray to Allah that none of us amongst us are involved in this sin. And I hope and pray that, you know, this is just for your information, that this is amongst those people who don't die with iman. But the pious people of the past, they wrote this for a reason. And so there will be people out there in the community that take alcohol, that are drinking alcohol. And there are Muslims now that are taking drugs and taking alcohol. It is part of our society now. And as people, we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of what is happening around us. We need to be aware of what is happening with our children. We need to be aware of what they are doing. And, you know, if we feel that maybe they are involved in these sort of things, then we need to try and put a stop to it. And again, there's a lot of hikmah involved in that. When it comes to your children, if they're involved in committing any sort of sin, to stop them is not easy. Because you do not have full control of your children. You may say you do, but you don't. And so to stop them committing certain sins takes a lot of wisdom, but we should try. The third one, being disobedient to parents. Oh, again, you know, we need to be honest with ourselves here. How often have we been disobedient to our parents? When have there been times where we've not listened to our parents? When are the times where we've hurt the feelings of our parents? One of the times being where we've not been there for our parents when they needed us. You know, there's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going up the steps of the minbar. And as he's going on every step, he says, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And then when he came down, the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, please explain. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I can't remember the exact order, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when I went on the first step, Hazrat Jibreel Islam came to me and said, warn to him who a month of Ramadan comes and a month of Ramadan goes and he fails to get his sins forgiven. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen to that. On the second step, Hazrat Jibreel Islam said, warn to him who a person finds his parents in an old age and through them he does not enter paradise. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen. And on the third step, warn to him who hears your name, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he does not send salutations upon you, does not send the Rude Park upon you. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ameen to that. Hazrat Jibreel Islam is making the dua and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, Ameen. Warn to him who parents reach each old age and through them he does not attain paradise. That you've not looked after them, you've not cared for them, and as a result of them, you don't enter paradise. You know, we are told that, you know, paradise lies beneath the feet of our mother. And yet, how do we treat our mothers? We are told that the father's pleasure, Allah's pleasure lies in the father's pleasure. Allah's anger lies in your father's anger. How many of us are disobedient to the parents? Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran mentions many, many places. Worship Allah. Worship Allah and be dutiful to your parents. Worship Allah and respect your parents. Worship Allah and look after your parents. The command for looking after the parents is great. So significant in our deen, so important in us to look after our parents and care for our parents. In the Quran, we are told not even to say uff to them. But what do we do? Do we listen to our parents? Do we respect our parents? You know, people growing up in this country, again, something we've said before, that people growing up in this country, they say, oh, well, you know, my mom, my dad, yeah, they came back, you know, they were from a village back in India, back in Pakistan. They don't understand what I'm going through. They don't understand the problems. They don't understand the modern world. Yeah, so? So what? They don't understand. I agree with you. Okay, they don't understand your problems. They don't understand what you're going through. They don't understand the modern world. They don't understand modern technology. They don't understand nothing. I'll agree with you. So, that does not give you the right to disrespect your parents, even if they do not understand you. They do not, you understand your problems, still you do not have a right to disrespect your parents, no matter what. And that is very, very important. We need to understand that. People nowadays say, oh, well, this person needs to earn my respect before I respect him. Okay, fair enough. But not when it comes to your parents. You must respect them. You must look after them to the best of your ability. And there'll be people that are watching this program right now that will regret not respecting and looking after their parents. Why? Because their parents are no longer here. Ask them. And they will say, yes, brother, you are right. If I had the opportunity now to look after my dad, to look after my mom, I would look after them 10 times better than I did when they were alive. But as Muslims, one thing, we need to live our lives in such a way that we don't have regrets. You can't have these regrets. This is the time that you need to grasp that if you want to look after your parents, look after them now. Not when you've got your children married, not when you've got your business sorted, not when you've got your kitchen extension done, not when you've had your holiday. Now is the time. This is when your parents need you. They don't need you. They need you now. This is the time that you can look after them. And then at the same time, viewers of Munchanal, those people whose parents are no longer with us, then perform good deeds in such a way that can benefit your parents. I know this is, again, nothing to the topic, but with regards to our parents, the rights that they have over us are so great and the opportunities are still there. That do good deeds for the sake of your parents. Pass the Isa alayhi salam, the blessing onto your parents. That's what we need to really focus on. And the fourth thing that is mentioned in this book, Sharh Sudur, is causing harm to Muslims. Now, what happens is, viewers of my channel, we hurt the feelings of people. We cause harm to people and we then brush it off. We forget about it. Why we think we've got away with it. We don't repent. We don't seek forgiveness from that person. Even when we become aware of the fact that we have done wrong. Because as human beings, we make mistakes. Yeah, we do make mistakes in our lives. But if you become aware that you've made a mistake, instead of laughing it off, yeah, well, I got away with it, didn't I? Nah, not like that. Seek forgiveness from that person and from your Rabb. Repent and seek forgiveness. Nowadays we think, you know, I'm all right, I can get away with it. And we don't have no cares about causing harm to Muslims. And we have to, and also on that level, we don't even care what is happening to our fellow Muslims. They may be in difficulties, they may be in problems. You know, here, there's something I still can't get over. Here in Bradford, we have a funeral service. And last year, maybe I think it was autumn or maybe late summer, that I was informed that, you know, the brothers that were involved with the funeral service, a phone call went to them from the local council that a Muslim had passed away. That happens. But what was different with this particular case was that the Muslim had passed away 4 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, and he was dead in his house and nobody knew anything about it. Seems unbelievable to us, doesn't it? But it happens, and it happened. You know, was nobody looking out for them? You know, there's one extreme where we're causing harm to Muslims, but as Muslims, we don't even care about what's happening to our neighbors, what's happening to our fellow Muslims. We don't inquire about their health. You know, as long as I'm all right, I don't care about anybody. You know, we need to change this. We need to be concerned about our fellow Muslims. I remember last year in the peak of the pandemic, one Zimmerdad, every day when he started to go through his phone book and started to just send a message, a voice message to an individual. And he'd make it personal. So it wasn't just, I pray that you're okay and the pandemic's not affecting you. He'll say, oh, Brother Ali, Brother Habib, I hope you're okay, and mention his name. And some of the messages that he got back were brothers were crying that you remembered me. Yeah, you thought about me. You know, we're all in this isolation. We're all in the lockdown. Nobody thought about me. And we see that through the lockdown, through the pandemic, where people, you know, because they were in isolation, they got depressed because nobody was looking out for them. Nobody was inquiring about them. Is that what we want? Well, you may say, well, I'm okay. I've got my family around me. I've got everybody around me. But what about everybody else? So in the same way that we shouldn't be causing harm to Muslims, we should also be looking out for our fellow Muslims, trying to help them when they are struggling. And unfortunately, what happens is when our fellow Muslims are struggling, and this is going to sound harsh, but it's true, that sometimes when our fellow Muslims are struggling, we are happy. We might not show our happiness outside, but inside we are happy. And I'll tell you why. That sometimes what happens is a Muslim has a business, is struggling, and then we can see the business going down, they're making a loss, they're having to lay off workers, they're not getting the customers, they're not getting the orders. And you look at that business, you think, you know what? Yeah, it's because he's doing this, this, and this, and this. If he did this, this, and this, and this, it'd be sorted. What do you do with that information? Nothing. Two reasons. Number one, you don't want him to be successful. It may sound harsh, but this is the truth in some cases. You don't want that brother to be successful. And secondly, you want to buy the business. You want to wait until that business really collapses, then you go in and buy it for next to nothing. You then put your ideas in and make that business a success. Why don't you go and help that Muslim brother? Why do you not go and help him? He is struggling. So indirectly, by not telling him the ways or the method or the strategies that he needs to get him out of this problem, you are indirectly causing harm to him. Why don't you help him? Why don't you want to help your fellow Muslim brothers? You know, there was a time in the city of Medina where a person went into a cloth shop. And when he went into the cloth shop, he said to the person in the shop that, I want this amount of material, I want this length, I want this quality, and I don't want to pay more than this amount because I want to distribute this. The shopkeeper looked at him and said, yes, I have that material, I have that color, I have that quality, I have that quantity, and yes, I can do it for the price that you want to pay for it. However, my dear brother, in this street, just opposite me, there is also another cloth shop. And I've been observing his shop all day and I've seen that he's had no customers. Rather than buying it from me, go and buy it from him. You know, alhamdulillah, I've had some customers today. I'm okay. Go and buy it from him. Allahu Akbar. How many of us would do that? How many of us would want to help our fellow Muslims? Or let's put it on the other side. Someone comes to our shop and they say, oh, brother, I want to buy this cup. And you'll show them the cup and say, well, it's this one. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it's okay. I'll just go down and have a look at a few shops down here. And if I see anything better, all well and good. If not, I'll come back and I'll get this. What is our attitude then? No, don't call him. He sends stolen goods. His goods are seconds. No, you don't want to buy it from him. I've had so many complaints about people that buy stuff from me. Eventually, they all come back to me. So you might as well buy it from me. Lying, slandering. What for? A few pennies? You will not help your fellow Muslim brother. You'll cause harm to your fellow Muslim brothers. Is this what we've become? That we don't want to go out of our way to help anybody? Yeah, and indirectly will cause harm to them? That we don't care what's happening to people? As long as I'm okay. You know, there's a saying in English, I'm all right, Jack. That as long as I'm okay, I don't care what happens. You know, I'll get to my destination at 100 miles an hour. I've got to my destination along the way. It doesn't matter how many people I've knocked down. You know, there's certain people that drive at 30 miles an hour. They get to the destination, it'll take longer, but on the way they've not hurt anybody. Whereas the other people that want to get there quickly, they'll go 100 miles an hour, they don't care how many people they knock down, how many problems they create, how many people they hurt on the way, as long as they get to the destination before anybody else. And that is what happens in life. We don't care as long as we are okay. We don't care what happens along that route, as long as we are okay. And this is where we need to be aware of the effects that we are having on people, of what we are doing, what effect it can have on people. So views of inshallah, these are just four reasons. And inshallah, we're going to mention some more later on. But ultimately, in any one of these things, there are two things that we need to do. One, stop and change. Two, repent. Stop from doing that and change our lives. And secondly, repent. Repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla from that sin that you have committed. However, what is repentance? How can I repent from the sin? Ya Allah, forgive me. Ameen. Could be right. That could be enough. But sometimes it needs a lot more than that. Alama Mulana Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Rahmatullah Ta'ala has stated that in reality, repentance is to turn to Allah. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there are three pillars, three conditions of repentance. Number one, you need to admit the sin. Don't try and deny it. Be honest with yourself. I mentioned it earlier. Admit the sin. Number two, you need to be feeling shame. You need to be ashamed of yourself for committing that sin. Be embarrassed that, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And third, when you raise your hands in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla to repent from that sin, you need to have a determination, an intention, that you're never going to commit that sin again. You cannot on a Saturday morning, Ya Allah, forgive me for drinking alcohol last night, even though you know that tonight you're going to go out with the boys again. Ya Allah, forgive me for that sin and make a firm intention never to do that again. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, that repentance will be accepted. But again, as human beings, we make mistakes. You might commit that sin again, we'll repent again, but repent sincerely. But there are certain sins that need more than that. For example, what I said to you, that if you're lazy in your salah, you've missed your salah for the last year, last 5 years. Ya Allah, forgive me for missing my salah. Ameen. And Ya Allah, I've made a confirmed intention never to miss my salah again, and I will read my namaz on time. Okay. You still need to make up. Yes. You need to make up for that namaz that you have missed. You need to make a record of it. Sit down, viewers on the channel, brothers and sisters, sit down and make a record of all the namaz that you've missed in your life, all the fast that you've missed in your life. Make a record of it and start to make up the missed salah. There's a booklet of Amir al-Sunnah, The Method of Missed Salah, how you can shorten the salah to make up for the missed salah. Make a list, follow that, and start knocking them off the list of the salah that you've missed. You know, I'll give you an example, worldly example. You know, I borrow £50 of somebody. And I say to him, brother, I'll give it you back on Friday. Friday comes, I don't give it him. And on Saturday morning, I say, brother, I'm sorry, I didn't give it you yesterday. What's he going to say? He's going to say, okay, I accept your, you know, forgiveness, but where's my 50 quid? I still need my 50 quid. In the same way that we have to make up the missed salah, the missed fast, we need to make them up. And if you've hurt someone's feelings, you need to go and ask them forgiveness as well. So we need to be, you know, make a change in our life. Make a change now before it's too late. You know, I went to a funeral. And I remember that there was a time where maybe I would attend a funeral maybe once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months. But for some reason, maybe it's the sign of the times or whatever it is, but, you know, we're attending funerals literally weekly now, or twice a week, three times a week it is happening. You know, death is all around us. Maybe we're closing our eyes to it. Maybe we closed our eyes to it in the past where we didn't realize, but it's there. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for old age? There's no guarantee of old age. Are you waiting until you retire? There's no guarantee you're going to retire. Are you waiting until this happens, that happens? This is not going to happen. It might not happen. Are you waiting for Ramadan? How can you guarantee that you're going to reach Ramadan? If you want to make a change in your life, when? Now. Now is the time to make a change in your life. Right now, this instance, I will have no qualms. You know, you have my permission, viewers on the channel, if you wish, switch off the TV and sit in front of raise your hands and present yourself, turn towards your Rabb and ask, Ya Allah, forgive me for all the sins that I've committed, and start to make a change in your life. I have no qualms if you switch off the TV, no qualms whatsoever. Turn to your Rabb. Repent from all the sins that you've committed and make a change. Today, now, not later on in the day, not after you've had your lunch, not after you've had your tea, not after you've had this meeting, not after you've picked up your children, not after you've gone to the gym, now. Now is the time to make a change. Viewers on the channel, we're just going to go to a small break, and I believe it's the reminder of the day, inshallah. We'll go to the reminder of the day, and then, inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madani channel, without question, visiting the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is a great privilege, but it should be kept in mind that one who has been blessed with visiting this court must also conform to manners. A little bit of negligence may result in great deprivation. Let's now listen some of the manners. Number one, when visiting, one should make a pure intention of beholding the blessed grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There must not be any intention such as show off or trade, etc. Number two, recite salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam during the journey to Medina. Number three, as the haram of Medina approaches, it is better to cry and recite salat upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with your head bowed and then move ahead. Visit the blessed shrine with great humility of the heart and body. Say salam. If you cannot weep, at least have a weeping look on your face. Number five, try to focus all of your attentions to the merciful court of the greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Refrain from using the mobile phone and taking selfies and ponder that you are present in a very glorious court. Number six, if somebody has requested you to convey his salam to the court of beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then say salam on his behalf as well. Number 7, as long as you are blessed with a stay in Madina Tayyibah, spend most of your time in the state of wudu in the blessed masjid, offering salah, reciting the Holy Quran, salat upon the greatest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as well. Obviously, you will also spend your time on fulfilling your needs. One should not talk about any worldly matter in any masjid. Take extra care there. Number 8, in Medina, the reward of 50,000 good deeds is granted for performing a single good deed. Therefore, put more effort in the acts of worship. Do cut down the intakes of food, etc., as long as possible, and give sadaqah. And number 9, never turn your back towards the blessed shrine of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As long as possible, do not stand at such a place to offer salah where your back is towards the blessed shrine. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Though you see views of which how people do dua, may Allah bless me with the month of Ramadan. There's no guarantees, is there? There's no guarantees that we will see the month of Ramadan. So we need to do dua, ya Allah, bless us that we see the month of Ramadan. And it's stated that the pious people of the past, after the month of Ramadan would go, they would spend 6 months doing dua, ya Allah, accept whatever we have done in the month of Ramadan. And then they would do dua for 6 months. Ya Allah, bless us with another Ramadan. How many of us will know people that were with us last Ramadan, and they're not with us now? We know those people, don't we? That will not be with us in this month of Ramadan when it comes. But who's to say that we will see the month of Ramadan? Ya Allah, bless us with the month of Ramadan. And those people that have left, ya Allah, accept whatever they have done in their lives and bless them with paradise without accountability. Views of the channel, today we are talking about dying with Iman. And there's a book called Minajul Ahmadin. And it's stated in that book that Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, Ramatullah, once visited one of his students. And his student was close to death. You know, he could see that he was close to the time. And he started to recite Surah Yasin next to his student. And his student said to him, stop reciting Surah Yasin. He was in the pangs of death, but he still said to him, stop reciting this. So Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, rahmatullah, then he started to recite the kalma. And in the hope that the student would hear this and he would also recite the kalma. Now before I continue here, that, you know, when someone is passing away, do not tell them. Don't tell them to recite the kalma. You know, you just recite it. They will listen to it and hopefully they will also start to recite them, but don't tell them. Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad Ramadullah started to recite the kalma there in the hope that his student would also start reciting the kalma as well. His student turned around and said to his teacher, I will never recite this kalma as I have nothing to do with it. Saying this, he passed away. Allah. Astaghfirullah. Now, Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad, because this student was one of his better students, one of his best students, he was very, very sad. And he wept for many days. And it stated up to 40 days he was crying that what has gone wrong? Why did my student die like this? Then one day he saw him in a dream. He saw his student in a dream. And in the dream, his student was being dragged to the hellfire. And he said to his student that, why were you deprived of this mystical knowledge? Why did this happen to you at that time? You had a very high status amongst my students. Why did this happen to him? His student, as he was being dragged to the hellfire, said to him, there are 3 reasons for this. The first is telling tales. I used to tell one thing to my friends, I need to tell something else to you. The second is jealousy. I was jealous of my friends. And the third is drinking alcohol. On the advice of a doctor, I used to drink a glass of alcohol every year to be cured from a disease. Again, we mentioned alcohol there. But the other 2 things that I mentioned there is telling tales and jealousy. Telling tales and jealousy cause this person to lose his iman. And when you come into telling tales, this is where what happens is, sometimes you sat in a gathering with your friends. They're talking. Some of them have got good stories to tell. Interesting stories. Stories that when people listen to, they laugh. Or they get happy. Or stories that when they listen to, they are interested with them stories because it can have an impact on their lives and the change on their lives. And you're sitting there. And you've got nothing to say. You've got no stories. But you want to be part of the conversation. So what happens is, you start gossiping. You start backbiting. You start telling tales. And as a result of that, yes, you become part of the conversation. Yes, you may have made somebody happy, but how many sins are you occurring on the way? It is better to remain silent than to backbite. It's better to remain silent than to tell tales. It's better to remain silent than to say these words that can ultimately lead you to the hellfire. Sadr al-Sharia Badr al-Tariqa Alama Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that Allah Azza wa Jal forbid if a person utters words of kufr at the time of his death, the ruling of kufr will not be applied to that person, as it is possible that he may have lost his wisdom due to the agonies of death. So if a person, even if he utters them words, then still you should not say that he has died without iman, but he has said these things in such a way that he might be dying without his iman. Coming back to telling tales, Vizam and Chalam. Telling tales has become so common that most people aren't even aware that they're committing these sins. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those people who backbite, those people who taunt others, those people who find fault with innocent people, they will be resurrected on the day of judgment by Allah azza wa jalla in the form of dogs. And it is mentioned in another hadith, Vizam and Chalam, that the one who tells tales, he will not enter paradise. And so it is essential for us, viewers of my channel, to avoid those things that cause us to commit these sins. And I keep on saying we need to be honest with ourselves. In the same way, viewers of my channel, you go to the doctor, and the doctor will do like a full blood count, a full blood test. He'll take your cholesterol, he'll take your sugar levels, he'll take your blood pressure, he'll check all these others, and your potassium levels, your iron levels, or whatever the things he checks. And then what happens is you get the result in front of you. And when you've got the result in front of you, then depending on what's on that result card, you make changes in your life. Yes, you may have to take medication, but at the same time you make changes. Okay, my cholesterol level's high, I've got to take these tablets, but I'm going to stay off the fatty foods. Yes, my sugar level's high, I've got to take these tablets, but I'm going to stay off sugary foods, and I'm going to make this, I'm going to do this. My iron's level low, so I need to find foods that have got extra iron in them, and I'll take them. And you make a change in your life according to what you are. That is what the doctor's given you. What I'm asking you to do is to look at yourself and say, what sins am I committing? Am I reading my salah? Am I committing the sin of backbiting, telling tales, gossiping, lying, swearing, cheating, being disobedient to parents, and all these things? And then, in the same way that you make a change in your life, you need to make a change in your life. Make a change in your life so that you can stay away from committing those sins. It is stated that Alama Aini Ramadullah Ta'ala has narrated with regards to telling tales that Imam Nawawi Ramadullah Ta'ala states that to convey what a person has said to another person with the intention of causing harm is called telling tales. To convey what a person has said to another person with the intention of causing harm is called telling tales. And today, unfortunately, when a conversation is taking place, without telling tales, without backbiting, very rarely do conversations take place. And people start indulging in the sins of backbiting. And again, this is another sin that we're not aware of. What is backbiting? We need to, you need to inform yourself about these things. In the same way that you inform yourself that if your doctor says, oh, you've got diabetes, what do? You go home, you go on the computer, diabetes, okay. All right, okay. Oh, I need to do this. You need to start looking at what is backbiting? Am I backbiting? When you hear the scholars, when you hear people on Mother Channel talking about certain things, certain sins, educate yourself about them. You educate yourself about cholesterol, you educate yourself about this, and people carry watches now, they have watches on their phone, they have apps telling them how many steps I need to take in a day, how many glasses of water I need to, all these things I need to do to maintain my health. What about maintaining my soul? What are the things I need to do to maintain my soul? Do you have them? What do I need to do to improve my soul? You do all these things to improve your body. What about improving your soul? And we need to make sure that we are aware of them things and stay away from those things that can cause damage to our soul. In the same way you'll stay away from sugary goods, from fatty foods and all these things because they cause damage to your body, damage to the soul. Same principle. Look at what you are being afflicted by. Look at what you have been affected by. Look at what is causing harm to you and make a change. And if you don't know how to make a change, then come forward. Come forward to the Ijtimaz of Dawat Islami and ask them. There are books available. I mentioned backbiting. Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, has written a huge book on just this topic of backbiting. And I think it's about 500 pages just on this one topic. And that will explain to you how prevalent this disease is in the society. Amir al-Sunnah has called this book backbiting a cancer of society. It's so widespread in the society. Now, cancer probably only affects a small percentage of people, but backbiting affects literally everybody. It's something that we need to become aware of. We need to be aware of these things. You know, the pious people of the past, they would control what they spoke. They would think about what they speak. Nowadays, you know, I've seen these pictures where your mouth is connected to your brain, and there's like a plug and socket in the middle. People have done these pictures, and they said that it's disconnected. Make sure that your tongue is connected to your brain before you speak. Nowadays, we speak without thinking. You know, I think I mentioned this before, that there was an individual, a homeopathic doctor. He went to a hospital to visit a patient, a friend of his. And the friend of him had a stomach problem. And it was in an open ward, where all the patients were there because of stomach problems. It was a male ward. And he went and visited his friend. And as he came out, he went to see the doctor. And he said to the doctor that, you know, I'm a homeopathic doctor. You know where my friend is? In the bed next to him. You know, what illness has he got? What's his problem? And the doctor said to him, well, he's here because he's got a stomach ulcer. And because of that stomach ulcer, we're going to operate on him. I said, no, he's got another problem. I've never seen this problem before. He's got some other problem. And the doctor said to the homeopathic, what do you mean? He said, well, when he speaks, like this. And the homeopathic doctor says, I've studied, you know, mental illnesses. I've never seen this one before. And the doctor smiled and said to him, he has no mental illness. He hasn't got any mental illness. But he is aware that on the day of judgment, he will be accountable for every single word that he speaks. And because of that, every time he speaks a word, he pauses and he thinks to himself, do I need to use the next word or not? Having this accountability of your words that you speak. We don't do that. We tell tales, we gossip, we lie, we swear. And what we are ultimately doing, we may get a few laughs in front of us, but we're ultimately filling that huge basket, that huge bin, that huge container. Yeah? People talk about 40-foot containers. We're filling our huge, unimaginable size of container with sins just for a few laughs. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Now regarding the honorable companions, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has explained, do not speak ill of my companions. Because if any of you were to give charity the amount of gold equivalent to the whole of Mount Uhud, it would not be equivalent to a single mud or half a mud given by any of them. Now what's the explanation of this hadith? Is that if a companion gave a small amount of barley in charity, whilst a ghouth, qutb, or any ordinary Muslim gave a mountain's worth of gold, the latter were not near the level of acceptance and closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is true regarding fasting, salah, and all other acts of worship. When salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to 50,000 offered salah elsewhere. What words could adequately explain the rank of the companions who physically saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spent time in his company? What can be said of the amazing acts of worship? Now, the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions is really, really high. This hadith also teaches us to mention the honorable companions with nothing but good. They are never to be spoken about with belittling or disrespectful terms, not even in the slightest. These are specific individuals Allah chose to accompany His beloved. Now imagine this, just as an example. When a merciful father does not let his son stay in the company of bad people, then how could our merciful Lord Azza wa Jal like for His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay in such company? The companions' superiority is founded on the fact that they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and lived in the era of divine revelation. If anyone from our lives for 1,000 years tries to spend his entire time obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from disobedience, such that we become the greatest worshipper of our era, even then, dear viewers of Madani Channel, even then, all of this worship will not match a single moment spent in the companionship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson that we learn here is that whenever we speak about the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always with respect, never use disrespectful terms. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and today we're talking about a very important topic. As a human being, you know, people talk about nowadays, people hear talking about bucket lists. And on the bucket list is basically, for those of you who do not know, a bucket list is where people make a list of things that they want to achieve in their life. They want to have a semi-detached house. They want to get married before they're 30. They want to have a certain car. They want to visit this place. They want to do this. They want to do it. And they make a list of all the things that they want to do in their life, all the places that they want to go, all the things that they want to buy. And all this list is made. And what happens is they put the most important thing at the top of the list. And as the list goes down, then the least important things are more at the bottom of the list. As Muslims, as viewers of Mother Channel, if we are honest with ourselves, is on our list, and it should be at the top of the list, is on our list to please my Rabb? Is on our list to die with Iman? That should be at the top of the list. Is it even on our list of things that we want to achieve in our life? Now, I'm not saying all the other things are haram, buying a semi-detached house, getting married before this age, getting a certain sports car, doing this and visiting these people, all well and good. I'm not going to say anything about them. My only question to you today is where on that list is it to please my Rabb? Where on that list is it to die with Iman? Where is on that list to live my life in such a way that I die with Iman? Where is it on that list? Where is it on that list to read my Quran on a daily basis? Where is it on that list to read my Salah 5 times a day? Where is it on that list to do my best during the month of Ramadan? Where is it on that list to go to Hajj at the first opportune moment? Is it even on our list? Again, be honest with yourselves. And if it's not on your list, then you need to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, why? Why is this not on my list? I have got my priorities wrong in life. If I've not got my priorities right in life, then how can I have a successful life? We need to look at our priorities in life using my channel. Early on, we mentioned that student of Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayyad Ramadullah, that he died. And at that time, he uttered them words. And afterwards, when he seen a dream, he said that one of the reasons that I died in that state was because of jealousy. Jealousy. And jealousy is again a sin that we are prevalent in. It is stated in a hadith that jealousy consumes good deeds as fire consumes wood. In the same way that you have a load of wood and you set fire to it, within a short space of time, the wood is gone and all you're left with ashes. Useless ashes that nobody can have any benefit with. Jealousy sets fires to all your good deeds. Jealousy will set fire to your Hajj, to your Umrah, to all your other good deeds, all the good deeds that you have performed. If you are jealous, it'll burn them all. Get rid of them all. Now, if you are aware, if you're aware, for example, again, I'm coming back to the medical thing. If you're aware that, look, I've been going to the gym, I've led a healthy lifestyle, I've done all these things, I've improved the way I live, I'm staying off fatty foods so that my cholesterol comes down, I'm staying off sugary foods so my diabetes is under control, I'm doing all these things, and you're aware, if you become aware of the fact that if I drink this cup of tea, then all of that effort, everything that I've done will be lost, all of that hard work I did will be lost, would you drink it? No, you wouldn't. And in the same way, you would not drink this because it would remove all the hard work that you've done. Jealousy removes all the good deeds that you have done. So we need to be serious again about the effects of these illnesses. We're again aware, I keep coming back to the medical perspective. We're aware of the medical effects, but we're not aware of the spiritual effects. And a lot of the reasons why we are not aware of the spiritual effects of these diseases, and I will call them diseases, is because we have this lack of knowledge. We do not know what that's happening. Hasad, jealousy, means that you desire for the loss of the blessing of somebody else and that blessing comes to you. You want them to have that blessing removed. You want to have that good thing removed from them and you want that good thing to come to you. You may be jealous of someone's car, you may be jealous of someone's house, you may be jealous of someone's business, you may be jealous of someone's wife, you may be jealous of someone's children. You want that to come to you. You want it to be taken away from them and you to have that. You want that house, you want that car, you want that wife, you want that, and this is wrong. You know, again, we need to be happy. When a Muslim brother is successful, when a Muslim sister is successful, is happy, be happy for them. Don't taunt them. Don't be jealous. Be happy for them. And I've got a friend of mine, same age as me. And, you know, as a young lad, he started doing markets, selling trousers, selling jeans. And then he had a car accessory shop. And alhamdulillah, he saved up enough money. And I remember he bought a Land Cruiser. You know, 2 or 3 year old. And I was so happy for him. And every time I saw him drive that car, I was so happy for him. Because I knew the hard work that had gone into that. And I was happy that, mashallah, he's achieved that. Because I knew all his life he kept on saying, I want to have this car, I want to have this car. And he's achieved it. Be happy for him. I've not got that car. I would like to have that car. But I'm not jealous of him. I'm happy for him. I'm happy that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed him with that. So in the same way, we need to be careful and not have this jealousy inside us for people that have these blessings. Be happy for them. And if you want to achieve what they've achieved, then be happy for them. But, you know, do your own thing, yeah? Work hard for your own house. Work hard for your own business. Work hard for your own car. Don't be jealous of them. Be happy for them. You know, we also have this mindset that if somebody has that car, that house, that whatever it is, that business, and that jealousy can also, if we're not careful, views of the channel, it can take us to somewhere very dangerous. And I'll explain. We start saying, why? Why is his business running better? Why has he got a bigger house than me? Why is his wife looking after me? Why not me? Why? And we start getting this why. Now, this why can take us to the boundaries of disbelief if we're not careful. Because now you're questioning what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. You're questioning the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, because the problem is you do not realize the blessing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with so much. You have so much in your life, and yet, why? Why not me? Why not me? Why not me? Instead of saying, Ya Rab, shukr that you chose me to have this blessing. Because these people don't have this, these people don't have this, these people don't have this. Look around the world, viewers of my channel. Do people have the food that you have, the shelter that you have, the protection that you have? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, if I was to start counting the blessings that Allah Azawajal has bestowed upon us, whatever your situation is. The fact that you can watch this screen and see me is a blessing. The fact that I can sit here and raise my hands and move my fingers is a blessing. The fact that I can see the cameras in front of me is a blessing. The fact that you can hear me is a blessing. These are, you know, and again, within them blessings, we can really go into them blessings. The fact that you can differentiate between color and shape and size is a blessing. All of these blessings, and yet you're looking, why? Instead of saying, Ya Allah, shukr. Ya Allah, shukr. Remove this jealousy from you. Remove this anger from you. Remove these things from you and be thankful that Allah has given you these things. Because if you're not thankful, if you become jealous of what other people have achieved, Allahu Akbar, then all of them good deeds, all of them actions that you have done, you run the risk of losing it all. You know, again, if I was to say to you, you do this and I'll empty your bank balance, would you do it? That's effectively what you're doing. You're effectively, potentially, emptying that bank balance. That bank balance that is the most important bank balance that you will ever have, and that is the bank balance of the afterlife. The bank balance of good deeds. We need to protect that. We need to protect our iman. We need to protect them good deeds. Not perform anything that will affect, that will lose us, cause us to lose our iman and cause us to burn them good deeds. And jealousy is one of those things, views of Munshal, that not only will empty your bank, but it'll destroy your bank. Not only will it empty your good deeds, but it'll destroy your iman as well. And as a Muslim, that is the most important thing, the most important asset that we have. We're going to go to another break now. We've got, I believe, I'm back. It's not been a while since I've been on this program, but we have a segment today. Apparently it's the fruit. I'll be quite intrigued to find out what this fruit is because I'm a little bit picky when it comes to fruits. I like certain fruits, but inshallah, if we watch this fruit segment, inshallah, we can maybe become aware of some other benefits of other fruits that maybe we've not tried, or maybe we do eat, but we don't realize the benefits of them. And hopefully we can make them, eat them fruits and hopefully improve our physical health. We're talking a lot here about spiritual health, but let's talk a little bit about our physical health as well. Let's go to the fruit segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Today, we are exploring pineapples. These are a tropical fruit packed with vitamins, minerals, and unique enzymes that contribute to overall health. Pineapples are an excellent source of vitamin C. It plays a vital role in immune health and skin maintenance. They are also high in manganese, a mineral essential for bone strength and metabolic function. One standout nutrient in pineapple is bromelain, an enzyme unique to this fruit, known for aiding digestion and reducing inflammation. Vitamins and minerals, so vitamin C, a powerful antioxidant, this vitamin strengthens the immune system, assists in collagen production, and promotes healthy skin. Just a single serving of pineapple can meet 100% of the daily recommended intake of vitamin C. Also within this, we find manganese. This mineral supports bone density and contributes to antioxidant defenses. For those concerned with bone health, especially as they age, manganese is an important nutrient. Bromelain, a unique digestive enzyme found almost exclusively in pineapples, bromelain helps break down protein, also in easing digestion. Studies show that bromelain can reduce inflammation, which may benefit those suffering from arthritis, sinusitis, or other inflammatory conditions. Health benefits. Digestive aid. Bromelain is especially effective in breaking down proteins, making pineapple an excellent choice after a protein-rich meal to support digestion. This enzyme also reduces bloating and indigestion, helping the digestive system function more efficiently. Immunity support. Pineapple's high vitamin C content strengthens the immune system and may reduce the duration of illnesses. Vitamin C is also essential for collagen synthesis, which is vital for wound healing and maintaining healthy skin. Now, due to its bromelain content, pineapple can aid in reducing inflammation too. Now, how do we select the perfect pineapple? So the first thing is the smell. A ripe pineapple will have a sweet, tropical aroma at the base. If there is no scent, it may still be underripe. Secondly, the color. Look for a vibrant golden color, especially near the base. Although some green is fine, avoid fully green pineapples as they may lack sweetness. Likewise, pineapples that are overly brown might be overly ripe. Thirdly, the feel of the pineapple. Yes, a ripe pineapple should feel slightly soft when you press it, but it shouldn't have mushy spots or visible signs of mold. The leaves at the crown should be green and fresh looking, not dry or withered. Some tips for use. If you won't eat the pineapple right away, store it in the fridge to keep it fresh longer. Also, to enjoy its full flavor, allow the pineapple to sit at room temperature for a day or two before slicing. This wonderful fruit brings a refreshing taste and impressive health benefits, making it a great addition to your diet. So whether it's added to smoothies or salads or enjoyed even on its own, the pineapple is a versatile and nutritious choice. Let's eat more pineapples.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Early on we were talking about blessings. You know, this is a blessing from Allah azza wa jalla that these different fruits exist, you know, and these are all blessings that Allah azza wa jalla has blessed us with. So why should we not try them if they're halal? So let's try these fruits. But today, viewers of my channel, we're talking about, you know, dying with iman. And we mentioned a few things earlier on that could cause us to die with iman. And there are many others as well. And we're going to try and mention that there's only literally 5 minutes left. And we want to do a quick fun promo there as well. One of the things that can cause us to die with iman is to not perform the hajj that is farz upon us. Hajj becomes obligatory upon you and you do not perform the hajj, then you run the risk of dying without iman. Now, if hajj becomes farz upon you once in your life, then it's farz upon you all your life. You know, for example, hajj could become farz upon you, and an emergency comes up. You have to spend that money elsewhere. Because it's become farz upon you, it's now farz upon you, full stop. And there may be a lot of people watching this program that hajj is farz upon them, and you don't even know it is. So first and foremost, I would advise everybody that if you are unsure if hajj is farz upon you, speak to the scholars and say to them, look, in my life, this is what's happened. And they will ask the necessary questions that they need to ask with regards to, well, at what time did you have so much money? Did you have this? Did you have this? And if hajj was ever farz upon you, then I'm requesting you, humbly requesting you now, make an intention to go and perform the hajj. Now, yes, it may be expensive. I know it's expensive. But like other things, it's not going to get cheaper. You'll spend that money, that equivalent amount of money, on getting married, on getting your daughters married, on getting your sons married, but you'll not spend that equivalent, or less, it's in fact less, people spend more on getting married, less on go and performing something that is farz upon you. Going performing something that could potentially protect your iman. Going performing something, going doing something that could ultimately get all of your sins removed. Going doing something where you could ultimately attain so many good deeds on performing that. Whereas you'd rather spend that money on getting your children married where you could be committing all sorts of sins. If hajj is farz upon you, please make the intention that you perform the hajj that is farz upon you. We're going to go to a small promo now, just a 1 minute promo, and we'll come back and we'll finish the program, inshallah. And I would like and request all of the viewers of Madani Channel to remember Dawat Islami when you are calculating your zakat and help us in this noble cause. Let's go to this quick promo and then, inshallah, we'll come back and finish the program. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we wholeheartedly believe in the words of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said,
that charity does not decrease one's wealth. And the understanding of this is important. When we spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many blessings that we attain. Blessings in terms of what we spend for the hereafter, it's invested in the hereafter, and we are given its reward with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we die. We are also protected from many calamities that we don't see and many afflictions which may have affected us before we gave that charity. Those afflictions, those calamities are warded off. Dawat-e-Islami is working across the globe through its many departments to support the community of the faithful. Our work is not just for the children, not just for the youth. We are trying to cater for all Muslims, all people from all walks of life. We are trying our best to improve the work in these departments, and this is only possible through your generosity, through your donations, through your support. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for every good intention and every single penny or pound or dollar that you give to support your Dawat-e-Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase success for all of you in both worlds through this act of generosity, through spending in His way to support the work of Islam. May Allah accept our good intentions.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 436345 60. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436345 60. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Viewers of my channel, today we've been talking about those things, those actions that could cause us to die with Iman, and there are many other things as well, and I think we need to be aware of this. Quickly, I'll just mention one, that if you listen to the Azan and you're speaking during the Azan, then again, that can be a cause of losing your Iman. So we need to be aware of the fact that that time, that crucial time in your life, when the angel of death comes to you, the pains of that death, you know, we're told that Shaitan can come in the form of your parents, your friends, and try and take your Iman away from you. So we need to live our lives in such a way, viewers of the channel, that we repent from the sins that we have committed, make a change in our lives, so that we can protect our Iman and ensure Allah Azza wa Jal die with our Iman. Views on Madani Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. And until the next time, keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alil Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end. And the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise.